Hey friends, welcome back here to the Semi-Seminary, and here we are, another week, another episode of our Bible study series. We're calling the Bible for Grown-Ups. Tonight we have, I think, one of the quintessential Bible stories when we think about this idea of these Bible stories we know that we probably learned as children, but we really don't know what the story is actually trying to teach us. We know the story, but we don't really know what it means. Tonight, we're going to look at one of those famous stories. I'm almost certain if you've ever been to one VBS in your life, you know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their denial of the command of King Nebuchadnezzar to bow before a 90-foot statue of him, and as a result, they're thrown in the fire. If you don't know the story, well, I'll see you on the other side. I'm going to go ahead and get started, though. I don't anticipate that this is going to take so much time that it would bump us into the board meeting, but just want to make sure. We're looking at a story in Daniel 3. Tonight we're calling In the Middle of the Fire. And this is actually something that we mentioned on the side last week about the time of Daniel when we were looking at the story of the Magi, right? About how did the Magi in Persia know about these traditions that came from Hebrew scripture, from the Old Testament. And we talked about how there were those guys that were taken from Jerusalem when Jerusalem fell by the Babylonians who conquered them and took them back into Babylon to serve in their royal court because they were educated people. Daniel of the lion's den, that guy is a part of that group of people. And that's how the Magi, those astronomers from Persia, basically, how they come to know the stories of God, Yahweh. And so I'm in the middle of working on another thing called The Rules of the Road, but I'm not ready yet. So I thought I'd do probably take me a couple of weeks to get that ready to go. So we're just going to do a couple of one-offs. Tonight, we're just going to look at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Very simple child Bible story, right? Again, one of the things that I try to do with our Bible studies is to remind us that if we've grown up in the Christian tradition, as adults, more than likely, one of two things have happened. You were either taught the Bible that you're supposed to live your life by. You were taught the Bible when you were a kid. Or you were taught the Bible as an adult, but you were probably taught the Bible by somebody who was taught the Bible as a kid. So many of us have a childlike understanding of what's really talked about in the Bible. And then when we put that up against the adult problems we have in the world, our childlike understanding of the relationship between God and us doesn't seem to hold up. And that causes a lot of people to walk away from faith. People walk away from faith every day for no more reason than the fact that they don't really understand what the story of the Bible is about. So in this time together, we like to call this Bible for Grown-Ups, so we can have an adult understanding. So I'd like to take a child's story from Daniel 3, the story of the three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, get thrown in the fire. And I'd actually like to talk about what that story actually is supposed to teach us. Now, the reality is, for many of us, unfortunately, we might be going through a very difficult time. I've heard a pastor say, and I think this is very wise, it's also very true, you're either coming out of a hard time, you're in the middle of a hard time, or a hard time is probably just around the corner. A lot of us as Christians, we just don't want to believe that we really should suffer in the world. I mean, we hear it in the Bible, but we don't really believe it. We think that when we become Christians, everything is supposed to become blessing. And that's just not how it works. Well, it might be a blessing, but it might not feel like it at the time. Jesus himself says to us, I mean, you don't have to take your pastor's word for it. Jesus literally says in John 16 and 33 that in this world, you will have trouble. Take heart, Jesus says, for I've overcome the world. I don't know what your situation might be, but maybe it is that you are battling one fire or another. It could be a financial fire you're in the middle of right now. Unfortunately, for some people, it could be a health-related fire. Could be some relational situation. Could be that your job is unstable. Maybe it's that you have been out of work and you've been searching for a long time. You can't figure out why things don't get better. You're doing everything that you think you should do, and yet you're still struggling. So what do we do when we're in the middle of the fire? Well, before we actually get into our story, I'd like to go around Scripture and see what's being said about this topic. First Peter, I pray that this will speak to you. Peter, writing in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 1 and 7, says these trials, and he's talking about exactly the things we were just talking about, the things that trip us up, right? These trials, whatever it is you're going through, will show you that your faith is genuine. And if you endure these trials, they'll show the quality and the depth of your faith. He says in 7, it's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Peter says these trials will reveal your faith, and it will show that your faith is genuine. In fact, one of the things when talking about faith in our story today that we're going to learn is that, and I hope that you can be encouraged through your own fire, is understand that a faith that is actually tested in your life is a faith that can be trusted. If you've actually put your faith to the test through these trials, and God has proven faithful to you, your faith can be trusted. God can be trusted. In fact, we're going to look at a faith that's tested in the three lives of these boys, these Hebrew boys. They're probably aged 14 or 15. Biblical scholars think probably 14, 15 years old. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, again, we talked last week about King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, who was a very evil dude. I mean, there's a lot of churches that when the pastor says Nebuchadnezzar, people will boo. Like, he's got a really bad rap in scriptural history, and rightfully so. At one point, he makes a giant statue, and he tells everybody in the kingdom that you're going to need to bow down and worship this golden statue of me, and it's 90 feet tall, okay, 30 yards tall, 90 feet in the air. And it was 9 feet wide. And he says to every government leader, every advisor, every judge, every magistrate, to come to the dedication. And in Daniel 3, verses 4 through 6, the herald shouts out, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and pipes, and all the other musical instruments, he tells us to bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue. Bow to the ground and worship the statue. Then he says in verse 6, anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into the burning furnace. Anyone who does not obey will be immediately thrown into the blazing furnace. Now, if you know the story or you read on verses 12 through 15, you're going to see everybody is bowing low. Everybody's bowing low except for these three teenage boys who continue to stand firm. Even when there was a trial that could cause them to be thrown into a fire, they stood tall, because a faith that's tested is a faith that can be trusted. It's very interesting in the story. We have these three teenage boys that are facing what looks to be like a pretty bad day. And there are some qualities that occur within our faith when we're facing a season of trials, or for today's purpose, our own fires. And I really believe in my heart that if you're here, you're listening to this message on purpose, I believe that God is going to speak to you specifically as to why God would allow these circumstances, these challenges that we experience in our lives. Three qualities of faith that the story is going to show us, we're going to talk about today as we navigate our way through the fire. Okay, the first one I'd like to talk about, faith obeys God instead of following mankind. Faith obeys God instead of following people. Everybody's bowing, these three boys are standing. Scripture says in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. I love this. King Nebuchadnezzar is the king of the Babylonian Empire. King Nebuchadnezzar is a god. These three teenage boys, 14, 15 years of age, say to this guy, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. All right, it's pretty cocky. 14-year-olds staring down a king, imminent death, saying, you know what, king? We don't have to give you an answer because, as far as we're concerned, this isn't about you and us. This is between us and God. Faith obeys God instead of following man. They didn't have to pray about it. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to fast on it. They didn't have to take this dramatic circumstance of their life and post it in graphic detail on Facebook or put a poll on Twitter asking, what should I do? They had one predetermined plan, and that was obedience to God, period. That's it. We will be obedient to God no matter what. Faith obeys God instead of following man. I think it would have been so easy if you put yourself in their sandals. At least I would say it would have been so easy to rationalize some compromise. Think about it. Everybody's bowing. They could have just said to each other, all right, look, just bow down. Right, pretend you're worshiping this 90-foot ridiculous statue, but in our hearts we'll be singing hymns, right? I mean, we believe in the one true God. We'll just fake it. Or they could say, you know what? Just worship the idol. And then tomorrow, I'll wake up with a lot of guilt. And I'll wake up with a lot of shame, and I'll do what I've always done before, and this may hit home for you. I'll just ask God to forgive me. They'll just do it, then feel bad about it, and ask God for forgiveness. Or another option, just rational thought. Look, if I don't bow down, I am surely dead. And if I'm dead, well, who's left to tell all these people about Jehovah, the one true God, right? Maybe, they could have said, maybe I'll just compromise this one time and go against God. They didn't do any of it. It's a predetermined outcome that's going to be, we are going to honor God no matter but what, and we will not follow what everybody else is telling us to do. And I promise you, friends, that if you are a follower of Christ and you are truly following after God's calling in your life, Satan, your spiritual enemy, will give you ample opportunity in this world, even today, to get you to compromise what you know to be true, what you know to be God's purposes for your life. But we'll not listen. We'll not go there because Our faith will focus on an audience of one. The second thing about faith is faith obeys in spite of what it sees. Faith obeys in spite of what it sees. Daniel 3, verse 17, they're speaking to the king. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. No matter what I see, I believe that not only is my God all powerful, but I believe my all powerful God is willing to save me. And friends, there is a big, big difference between God being able to do something in my life and God wanting to do something in my life. And this is Christianity 101. Because no matter the circumstance, we need to believe that. That God is not only able, but God wants to. So, despite what we see, how do we continue to believe that? Well, simply have to trust God. Our faith has to rise to those situations, and that you believe with everything in you that my God is not only able, but I believe my God is willing to heal. Now, what God actually does, well, that's up to God. But he has called us to pray and to believe in prayers of faith. And maybe for you, maybe you're looking at a dangerously low checking account, so you need to sell the Sea-Doo, right? Or second, you get a second job. Any job. Third, you believe with everything, right, about this financial problem. My God is willing and able to be my provider. That's why one of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. It means God is my provider. There's so much doubt, even in a little room like this. Because I think that so often we're lured into thoughts of the things thoughts that we allow ourselves to think, things that we allow ourselves to pray, and things that we allow the circumstances around us in our lives to define for us about God. But friends, God is not confined to what we see. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, being the creator of the universe, is exceedingly and abundantly more than you would ever dare ask him to do. So why do we doubt? Our faith says that God is with us, and our faith believes in that no matter what we see. And that really leads us to, if we're honest, the hardest question in all of this. What if God doesn't do what you're believing in God to do for you? What if you believe that God is going to heal and that person unfortunately dies? What if you believe God's going to bring your child back into faith with Christ, but it seems like they just get sucked farther down into addiction, into rebellion against God? What do you do then? Because that's where some of us might be living, and we know it. Well, let me give you this final thought. Faithful obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's. And understanding this, believing this, and truly understanding what these words mean are incredibly foundational in a successful Christian life. Faithful obedience is what our job is. It's our responsibility. The outcome is God's. Living out what God has called us to do, the life that he has purpose for us to live, that is our job. But that is where our job ends. What God does after that is where God's job begins. Our job is the obedience part. Be faithful. But how God plays this all out, well, that's up to Him. So with these ideas about importance in faith in mind, let's actually look at what happens in the story. And let's see if we can't see some of these principles of faith actually being demonstrated out here in Scripture. Daniel 3, we're now in verse 18. I love this. Now remember, three boys staring down a king. I believe that my God's able. I believe that my God's willing. Verse 18, this is so good. I'm going to take a sip of coffee real quick before I start it. But even if he doesn't, I believe, they say, that God is able and God wants to. But the verse continues. But even if he doesn't, I believe my God will save me. I believe that God wants to save me. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, Scripture continues, Your Majesty, we will never, ever serve your gods or worship your gold statue that you've set up. The verse concludes, We will do what is right before God, and we will trust Him with the outcome. And here's the thing. This is one of my favorite things about doing these Bible studies, especially whenever we're talking about stories that happened 600 BC, right? Thousands of years ago. We can read this story, and it's easy for us to listen here and say, well, duh, of course they'd feel that way. Well, duh, of course they'd say that to the king. Because we already know how the story ends. They didn't. When they were saying these words, when they were making this pronouncement of their faith in God to King Nebuchadnezzar, they were certain that they were going into a really hot oven and were about to become crispy critters. They don't know what God is actually going to do, but their faith is unwavering because they know intimately the goodness and the power and the heart of their God. And so in response to their insolence, to this rebellion, what does Nebuchadnezzar do? For the first time, King Nebuchadnezzar orders the furnace to be stoked 7 times hotter than normal. He orders the soldiers to bind the hands, to tie behind them, the hands of these three boys, and have them thrown into the furnace. Our heroes are about to be killed. And the Bible actually says that the furnace was so hot, it actually describes that the soldiers who were throwing the boys into the furnace actually died from the heat, not by being in the furnace, but just being on the outside of it. That's how hot it was. And so seemingly they get thrown into their death. But God, right, verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke to his counselors. Did we not cast 3 men bound up in the middle of the fire? And they, the advisors, said, True, O king. Look, he answered, we see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Many people believe that something called a Christophany, right? This is Bible study, so I got to say things like this. And a Christophany is, there are people that believe that Jesus shows up in spiritual form at different times in the Old Testament. And when he does, those revelations, those appearances of Christ in the Old Testament are called Christophanies. Some people think that this is an actual Christophany and Jesus is in with the three guys. Listen, God will show you his power in all kinds of different ways throughout the course of our lives. You'll know his presence, the tangible reality of the presence of Christ best not when you are on the mountaintop, but when you are in the middle of your fire. And someone might need to hear that this evening. We threw three boys in, and now we see four men loose. Now, one of the things that gets talked about all the time about this story is that Scripture says that not only they were unharmed, but they were unburned, right? That their robes were unburned. I think it actually even says that they didn't even smell like smoke. But that's not true. There actually was something burned. And I think obviously if we look at the text, and I hope that you might need to hear this, we can see that. Because the Bible says that they were no longer bound, that they were loose. When they were thrown into the middle of the fire, they were bound up. And as they looked in, they saw four men unbound. The fire burned what had bound them. Why is that relevant? Right? Because some of us are in the middle of a fire right now. Some are big, some are small, and you are begging God to deliver you from this suffering. You are begging God to end this season of challenge in your life, to end this season of hurt, of trial. But could I just propose possibly, perhaps, even as we see in the story, that the very thing that you want God to remove from you is the very mechanism God wants to use to actually unbind you, to set you free. And so, our childlike Bible story today concludes, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." See, when God shows up in our hurt, the world will look at us, will look on and see us. And when they see our faith, our perseverance, even when we're in the middle of the fire, God will be glorified. They'll see you, but it'll bring glory to God. And maybe they'll say, "Praise be to the God of Jason, who was set free from addiction and never went back. Praise be to the God of Samantha, who stood by her husband. She didn't have to, and God made their marriage better than new. Praise be to the God of Jonathan, who began finally to honor God with his finances." When you stand in the midst of a battle, and people are looking on, they'll see you, but they'll bring glory to God. Verse 28, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him," God, "and they defied the king's command and were willing to give up their very lives rather than to serve or worship any god except their God." When our faith is tested, that's a faith, my friends, that can be trusted. Any questions? Killer. All right, thanks. It is interesting to think about how so many of us, as we become believers in Jesus, as we become followers, children of God, we have this unrealistic expectation that when we follow and when we think we're doing all the right things and saying the right things and looking the right way and all of that stuff, that bad things aren't going to happen, that we're going to be able to avoid the fires. But that's never, ever promised. In fact, it's the other way around. The promise, friend, is as a believer in God, someone who has a tested faith, promise isn't that you'll avoid the fire. The promise is that when you are in the middle of the fire, God is going to be there, right there with you.
And not only is God going to be there with you, God is going to use that fire to unbind you from your burdens and your challenges. That's the real promise of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anyway, it's something to think about. Hey, friend, I hope until next week that you'll be well. And until then, be blessed.